Where to start? At the beginning, naturally, with the thunderbolt, the coup de foudre. I was 34, living in Kinsale, earning my living as a writer. I had moved to Ireland from London 2 years before, soon after the publication of my first novel. After some rocky times financially, I had signed a generous contract for a non-fiction book and had no money worries. I enjoyed Kinsale, my mother's hometown, and did not miss London at all. I had an interesting circle of friends and a couple of boyfriends, both Dubliners, who visited occasionally. After an intense affair with a married man who broke my heart and a brief engagement to a man who had an increasingly serious drink problem, I was glad not to be in love, to be footloose and fancy-free, captain of my own ship. For some weeks, my friend Derek had been awaiting the arrival of Higgins, his friend the novelist Aidan Higgins. After many years out of Ireland, Higgins was living in Wicklow. Seamus Heaney had told him that if he returned to Ireland, he could become a founder member of an association of writers and artists called Éisteauna, and the government would give him an annual income, provided he dedicated himself full-time to writing. He was on the next plane, and after a quick visit to Dublin to seal the formalities, he headed for Wicklow, where his brother was living. But after 2 years, Higgins was not happy in the depths of the country. Derek immediately solved the problem. He should move to Kinsale, which had 23 pubs and plenty of congenial company. He gave Aidan my number as someone who could help him find a cottage with a sea view at a reasonable rent, a tall order even in 1986. He rang me one evening. His voice was a pleasant surprise, what you would call an educated voice, more English than Irish and very serious. Definitely the voice of a reader of the Times literary supplement, a man who would know a hawk from a handsaw. Derek asked if I would help him to entertain Higgins. It was late October, but still dry and sunny. Kinsale looked gorgeous in its autumn colours, the grey stone buildings against a blue sea. "He's coming down by helicopter," was the latest news, followed next week by "No sign of Higgins." Another week went by. Then finally some news. Higgins was arriving on Wednesday. Could I join them for dinner? I said I'd meet them in the bar after my swim in the hotel pool. I remember having wet hair and being too impatient to dry it, suddenly curious to see what Higgins looked like. Suppose, I thought idly, he turns out to be someone significant in my life, and his first view of me is of an otter-like wet head. I dismissed this untypical romantic thought from my thoroughly rational mind and headed for the bar. And there he was, in a wine-red sweater, medium-heightened build, long reddish-brown hair, beard, granny glasses, slightly stooped, engaged in close conversation with an enormous Viking called Sven. I remember Sven's handshake almost breaking my bones, while the touch of Aidan's hand was like velvet. Sven was a sea captain, Aidan told me in his extraordinary voice, who had once killed a man in the course of his duties. We dined at the Shipwreck, a new place near the hotel. Derek did not drink wine, so Aidan and I agreed on a bottle of Rioja. Derek knew that we were both interested in the writer Malcolm Lowry and introduced this topic. I listened to Aidan explaining a theory a Canadian friend had about Lowry, and I liked the way he stood up for his friend's theory, even against my demolition of it. I liked the way he took me seriously and didn't flirt. Aidan ordered another bottle of Rioja, at which point Derek politely left. We first kissed in the street outside the Shipwreck, and Aidan's glasses fell apart. Mine often did the same, and I was able to retrieve the pieces and put them together. Aidan was struck dumb with admiration at this feat. I noticed that his eyes were hazel, exactly the same color as mine. It was like looking into my own soul. The thunderbolt struck. I took his hand and we went back to my house and did not see Derek again until the Saturday. A nice pair was his amused greeting as we knocked contritely on his door. We had come to collect Aidan's things. He was moving in with me. That was 1986, and we were seldom apart until he died holding my hand 29 years later. Thank you.